Thank you. Good morning. It's good to be back here with you. As I mentioned, I always appreciate being able to come here to Bethany to minister the Word of God. We've been looking at the Epistle of 1 Peter, and we'll continue that this morning. We've arrived at chapter 3 of this epistle. Now, we're not able to go through a verse-by-verse study of this epistle, as you've seen. I'm just kind of focusing in on certain themes, truths from this epistle that can help us, I trust, in some way to better understand Christianity and how to live the Christian life. I certainly appreciate this beautiful demonstration this morning. Having worked in Africa for 25 years, we've come to realize how much can be communicated through symbols and ritual in church life. I know a little bit of sign language. I was talking to a deaf friend of mine one day, and in the middle of my talk, the middle of my sharing, he went like this. And in deaf language, that means baloney. So if you're ever talking to a deaf person and they go like this, that means what you're saying is a lot of baloney. So we're going to look this morning at chapter 3. As you remember, chapter 1, we looked at the gospel. What is it? Or salvation, what is it? And we saw that our Christian faith is a revealed faith. It's been given by God. It's not something that man thought up. And it is a historical faith, and it's an inspired faith. And last week we looked at the question, the people of God, who are they? And we saw that the people of God are the people that God has called out. We are the people of God. We're somebody in this world because we belong to God's royal family, and we have God's life, and we're here to accomplish God's will and purpose. Now this morning we're going to look at the question, the people of God, how do they relate to each other? How do they live in, together? And Peter, in this epistle, in this chapter, focuses in on the importance of harmony, of living in unity. And if you remember, this epistle was written to people that were dispersed, as we saw from the first chapter, were scattered, driven out from their homeland, and they're being persecuted because of their Christian faith. Now, in light of that situation, certain subjects that Peter touches on in this epistle are kind of astonishing. Why does he touch on certain things that he touches on? But we're coming back to realize that no matter what our circumstances, no matter what we're going through in the Christian life, there are certain foundations, certain foundational truths that we must continue to stand on, certain things we do, no matter what our circumstances may be around us. And that's what we see this morning in this, we're going to see this morning. Now, Peter's main theme in this chapter is harmony, that God's people must learn to live in harmony. Now, you know, in unity together. Now, there's a difference between union and unity. You can take two cats, tie their tails together, put them over a clothesline, and you have union, but you don't have unity. See, you can force and create union, but you cannot force unity. Unity must come from a determined effort of the will of our desires from within. And that's what Peter is aiming at this morning. Now, one sign that is given of the church is the body of Christ. Now, a body that's healthy is a body that's working in harmony. And the body that's healthy functions in harmony and works together, every part. If some foreign object comes into the body, causes an infection in that one part of the body, the whole body will mobilize to attack that foreign object that's come in to the body. You may have fever, you have infection, whatever. The whole body is mobilized against that foreign object that's come in to threaten the life of the body. Living in Africa, we often, or not often, but from time to time, we get malaria. And many times when our children would get malaria, their body would, they would get a fever. And we give them malaria drugs, and then you're always waiting for that time when you can go in and feel their body, and they've broken out into this, they've broken out into a sweat, they've perspired, their fever's broken, and now their body is cool. But the whole body mobilizes, the whole body is hot when malaria infects the body. So here Peter is saying that the whole body needs to work in harmony together to accomplish God's will and God's purpose. I'd like us to look at three things this morning in relationship to this subject of harmony that Peter touches on. I'd like us to look at the basis of living in harmony, the command that Peter gives here to live in harmony and the reasons for living in harmony. One difference that I've found in preaching in Africa and preaching here, in Africa, I preach until I'm done talking. In America, I preach until you're done listening, and you finish listening about 12 o'clock sharp. Many of our services begin at 11 o'clock sharp and end at 12 o'clock dull, but I hope that won't be the case here this morning. Well, first of all, what Peter says about harmony and the basis for harmony. Now, if you look at chapter 3, verse 18, he begins here with the little word for. He says, For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit. Now, this little word for follows on what he said in the first part of this chapter, talking about the command for why we should live in harmony and reasons for living in harmony. Now, the command that he gives for living in harmony in the first part of the chapter and the reasons he gives for living in harmony are based on what he says here in chapter 3, verse 18 to the end of the chapter. And it's based on the death of Christ. Peter constantly keeps bringing these Christians and us also through this epistle back to the cross of Christ. The gospel is based on the cross, as we saw in chapter 1. Our purpose, our personhood as the people of God is based on the cross, as we saw. Living in holy community living is based on the cross, as we saw in chapter 2. Now again, he comes back here in the subject of harmony, living in harmony together. Again, he bases this on the cross. Because the unity and the harmony that Peter is aiming at, is trying to lead God's people into, is not something that we can create in and of ourselves. We can find nothing in our society, nothing in humanity that can give us anything to create this unity. It must come from a work of God. Because the main problem, as Peter constantly brings out in these epistles, in this epistle, is the problem of sin. And Paul touched on this subject also in Ephesians chapter 4. You remember when Paul is speaking there, speaking about the fact that Jesus came to break down the wall of separation between us. The wall of separation between us and God was dealt with at the cross, but also the wall of separation between Jew and Gentile. The wall of separation between various other divisions that we have in humanity was all dealt with in the cross. So Peter comes back here to the basis of living in harmony, and it's based on what Jesus Christ did in time and space. He dealt with the problem of sin. And this is basic to all our problems of living in unity and living in harmony. It's a problem of sin, of selfishness, of human nature. And so Peter says here that Jesus Christ came, and in time and space, he speaks about Jesus Christ coming and being put to death in the body. He had a body, and he died in a body, in a particular time, in a particular place. He worked out our salvation, as we saw in the first chapter. It's a historic salvation. It's based on historic facts. But that happened a long time ago. But Peter also reminds us that he was made alive by the Spirit. The same Spirit that brought Jesus Christ back from the dead is the same Spirit that can apply the work and the power of the cross to our daily living. And it's on the basis of what Christ did, as we saw in chapter 2, near the end of the chapter, chapter 2, verse 24, He, Christ, bore our sins in His body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. And here again he's speaking about the fact that Christ died once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. So the problem of sin was dealt with at the cross, and that's the basis upon which we can live in harmony. It is possible, in spite of all our differences, in spite of all our backgrounds, in spite of all our own interests, in spite of the potential that the Adamic nature has in us, we can live in harmony because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. But it's not something that can be created by man. It must come from our own decision, our own will to live in harmony deciding to live this way as God is leading us. So this is what Peter says is the basis of living in harmony. Now I'd like us to look at the commands that he gives for living, why we should live in harmony. And this we see in chapter 3, the first part of the chapter. Here we see commands given to live in harmony. Now the key verse in this whole chapter is chapter 3, verse 15. And this is the basis upon which we need to approach Christianity, approach our own personal Christian living, and approach our relationship to the body of Christ and our relationship to the world. And this is what Peter says in verse 15. But in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Jesus Christ needs to be Lord. We need to place Jesus Christ as Lord of our lives for two reasons. Number one, because of who he is. He is Lord, as we sang this morning in these songs. Jesus Christ, in fact, is Lord. He deserves the position of lordship in our lives. But also because of who the enemy is. Our enemy is powerful. And he's constantly there trying to divide the church, trying to lead us into defeat. As Peter mentions in chapter 5 and verse 8, he's going about as a roaring lion, seeking who he can devour. So because of who Jesus Christ is, because he is God of gods and King of kings and Lord of lords, and because of who our enemy is, we need to bring our lives constantly to this position where Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, Peter gets very practical. Again, he's talking to people who are under the gun, as it were. They're being persecuted. Their lives are at risk. And many of them are being put to death. Their very survival is a constant threat. And now Peter is talking in the context of this situation, about harmonious living in marriage. He talks to wives in verse 1. Down in verse 7, he speaks to husbands. And here we see the importance that Peter is putting on living in harmony in marriage. Why? Because the church is only as strong as the marriage couples are within that church. As married couples live within that context of that church. Society is only as strong as the family is within the health of the family within that society. So Peter here is addressing this situation, this problem, this need for living in harmony, even if you're under persecution, even if you're going through these difficult times that these Christians are going through. Peter comes back to the basics of living in harmony in marriage, in family, and in the relationship in the body of Christ. So here he begins chapter 3, verse 1, and chapter 3, verse 7, by going back again to the cross. He begins by addressing wives. And he says here, wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands. Now, if you go down to verse 7, you see here he says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate of your wives. What is he referring to here when he talks about in the same way? Well, he's referring back to what he just said about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, if you look back in chapter 2, verse 23, Peter says, Jesus Christ entrusted himself to his Father to do his Father's will. And now he comes to these people who are going through these difficult times. And he says, now in the same way, wives, you must live out God's will in your life in relationship to your calling, your position as a wife. And in the same way, husbands, as Jesus Christ entrusted himself to God, submitted himself to God to do God's will, you also, husbands, must submit yourself to God and live out God's will in your marriage relationship as a husband. So this is what he's pointing to. This is what he's getting back to. Now, why does he begin with wives? Well, he's not here to ask. He isn't here to ask him that. But he begins with wives, possibly, because of what Christianity was doing for women at this time. Christianity was setting women free. And in the context here, he's speaking to wives, first of all, in relationship to non-Christian husbands. And possibly he saw the danger, the potential danger of these wives, these women, as they came into the liberty and the liberation of the gospel, as the gospel was setting women free in the first century, that they could abuse this privilege and begin to stand up against their husbands in a sense that would discourage them and turn them back from Christianity and cause them to start accusing Christianity of doing wrong to their wives and destroying their marriage relationship. So Peter begins by speaking here to wives to live out in God's will in relationship to their husbands, in their marriage. And we see the same thing, for instance, in Africa. We see, I've noticed many times when African ladies, women in our culture where we work, when they become Christians, there's often the potential of them not respecting their non-Christian husbands. You know, in this situation, in this culture, it's very difficult. The whole situation is different in African culture. An African woman will never call her husband by name in public. In many ways, she'll never even look at him in the face in public because one day if he's across the courtyard and she's here working and she says, Kofi, come here and help me. I mean, that would be the end of Kofi's reputation in the whole society. His whole name would be destroyed as his wife broke culture and called him by his personal name, his name in public. It would destroy his whole position, his whole reputation in the culture. She's free. She's a liberated woman now in the gospel. She has the freedom to do this. But if she's a respectful Christian woman, Peter's saying here, she will do that which will not discourage her husband and will bring him to know the gospel. So here he's speaking to wives, first of all, and to wives of non-Christians. And he says, as Christ submitted himself to the Father to do the Father's will, you also must submit yourself to God's will to live out the Christian life, to live out your calling as a Christian wife before your husband. But then he goes on and says the same thing to husbands. He says, in the same way, husbands, now you live as a Christian husband in relationship to your wife. Be considerate of her, respect her. So this whole subject of living in harmony begins by focusing on the family. If there's not harmony in families, there will not be harmony in the whole local church. And the power of the local church is found to the degree in which families, in which married couples live in harmony within the context of that local church. And this whole idea of submission, of power, it's based upon what we see in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ submitted himself to do the Father's will, submitted himself to serve people, not because he was inferior, but because this was a reflection of God's nature. He was living out God's nature in this, living out as a servant. But then he comes down, as you'll see here in verse 4, and he addresses the whole church. And he says, after talking to wives about living out this harmonious submission to the Father's will in relation to husbands, husbands in relation to your wives, now he comes down and says, finally, all of you live in harmony with one another, verse 8, be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate, and be humble. So here he's calling them to live out in harmony together, not just husbands and wives, but the whole church. Now he's calling to live out in harmony. It's extremely important to see this today if we want to have a testimony. I heard yesterday on the radio that the church, the evangelical church in this country, there's good news and there's bad news about the situation of the evangelical church in America today. The good news is that in 1993, the church did not lose any membership. The bad news is that it did not gain any membership either. It stayed pretty much on an even level. So this is where the church is today. We're not gaining, we're not losing. What's the future going to hold? We could either go up or we could go down. It all depends on the degree to which we can live in harmony as a body so that we can have the Lord's power and blessing among us so that he can work out through us to reach those who are around us. So here he's calling in the midst of this culture of husbands and wives to live in harmony. And not just husbands and wives, but all of God's people to live in harmony. Why? Well, he already told husbands and wives that if they don't live in harmony, it will affect their prayers. And if our prayers are affected, our Christian life is going to be affected. Because if you take prayer out of Christianity, you no longer have Christianity. Because in one sense, the practical basis of Christianity is prayer. God moves in our lives in response to prayer. And God is ordained that our lives will grow and they will have blessing in our lives on the basis of His answers to our prayers. So if husbands and wives cannot live in harmony, there will not be the blessing of the Lord on their prayer life. There has to be this loving relationship. I remember once when I was in Africa, I was talking to one of my co-workers, one of my African friends who were working together, and I was trying to explain to him how he should relate to his wife. I said, for instance, Joseph, tonight after she makes you this meal, you should go to her and you should say, you know, Eileen, that was a very good meal. I really appreciated that meal. It really was good and it really tasted good. And I appreciate what your work that you do for me. But he thought that one over for a while. And often the African people are very philosophical. They'll think these things through. And he said, after a while, he said, you know, Dale, that I don't think that's going to work. I said, well, why? Why won't that work? He said, well, if I go home tonight and tell my wife this was really a good meal, she's going to stand up, she'll put her hands on her hips, and she'll look at me, and she'll say, oh, yeah? And what about last night? What was wrong with that meal? What about the night before? He said, that's going to create a problem, and you'll have to come in here and get us back together. So I think I better not try that. Well, there's different problems you might have as you try to start to live in harmony, but we need to take the risk. We need to jump in and try to live in harmony. And Peter is saying here, husbands and wives, you need to work at this thing, because if you can't, it's going to destroy your Christian life. It's going to block your prayers. And he says, not only husbands and wives, but all of you need to live in harmony. Why? Because, verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers. Not just husbands and wives, all of you, if you're not striving to live in harmony, to create harmony in this local assembly, if you are trying to live a righteous life, God hears your prayers and He'll bless you. But, the last part of verse 12, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And creating division and destroying harmony in the body of Christ is a form of evil in the eyes of the Lord. And so here we see this command to live in harmony. Now, why do we need to live in harmony? Why should we live in harmony? Well, Peter gives reasons for this. There's two reasons, basically. Because it puts us in line with God's will. If you're seeking to live in harmony in your marriage, in your family, if you're seeking to create harmony and unity in this local assembly, you're moving and working in accordance with God's will. That's God's will for God's people, to live in harmony and to live together. You've heard the little saying, to live above with the saints we love, oh, that will be glory. But to live below with the saints we know, that's another story. So that is the challenge that God has given them. But that's God's will. And He wants all of us to strive in that direction, to live in harmony. And that's what we read here in verse 17, for instance. It is better if it is God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. So we need each other, especially during times of persecution. We need each other. And the church, is the church goes under persecution. And there in Africa, when we're fighting for our life, a lot of the little secondary issues that seem so important to the church here in this country, they don't have any importance. You're fighting for your life. Someone has said a bulldog can lick a skunk any day, but it's just not worth the involvement. It's not worth the effort to get involved in it. And there's certain issues, they're so minor that it's just not worth the effort of getting involved in them. But one of the major subjects, one of the major concerns of the Lord for His people is that we strive for harmony. That's God's will. Now, that doesn't mean if we're living in harmony that we're not going to be persecuted, we're not going to have problems, we're not going to have difficulties. That's what Peter says in verse 13. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? Seeking for harmony is doing good. But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. Why? Because if we live in harmony, we're striving to do God's will, even if we do go under persecution, even if we are persecuted, and even if we do suffer as a result, we will, in a sense, pull the rug out from anybody that's doing this to us. They'll have nothing to accuse us of. They'll have nothing to stand on. We'll rob them of any grounds of accusation if we are living lives that are according to God's will and please Him. And the second reason why Peter tells us we should live in harmony is because it gives the church a foundation, a platform to testify. A church that's constantly divided and fighting among its members, by having fighting among its members, have no basis, no platform for a testimony. And that's what Peter says here in verse 15. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Francis Schaeffer said there's two signs of the true church of Jesus Christ: love and truth. Where you find love and where you find truth, you'll find the true church of Jesus Christ. So this is what Peter says to this people, that is, these Christians that were going through persecution. He calls them to live in harmony. Harmony in their marriages. Harmony in their local churches among them. Why? Because that's God's will. And it lives out in ritual, as it were. It lives out in symbolism, visible ritual, visual symbolism. The unity that there is in the Trinity. And it's God's will. It's following the example of Jesus Christ as He sought to live in harmony with His people. And also, it gives us a platform for testifying, for having a testimony and a witness to the world around us. May God bless us and help us to set Christ apart as Lord in our lives, that He might be Lord of our lives, of our families, of our marriages, of our local churches. May God bless His word. Amen. Our God and Father, we do want to praise and thank You this morning that You love us, that You've called us to Yourself, that You've made us members of Your body, Your church. We do thank You, Father, that because Jesus Christ did die on the cross, we do thank You, Father, that we have the possibility and the potential to live in harmony with You, with each other, that we might have a testimony to the world. Father, we just pray that You bless Your word this morning. Thank You for the ministry of the Spirit that can take the power of the cross of Christ and apply it to our daily lives, apply it to our marriages, apply it to our families and to our local churches, that we might truly be God's redeemed people, Your called out people, Your kingdom people that testify to the glory and honor of Jesus Christ. In His name we pray, amen.